Redfern with the Philadelphia International Airport.
It's definitely the busiest day of the holiday.
Rory from South Philly just returned home from visiting family for the holidays in Boston and says this year travel has been a breeze.
Yes, I normally try to get here an hour early just in case.
But there is some wintry weather to deal with as you travel this evening. The Great Lakes have helped produce a whole lot of snow from Cleveland to upstate New York. And even where there isn't any snow, temps have dropped and it is cold. WANF-TV's Bridget Spencer is at a warming center in Atlanta.
Sadiqa McLean knows what it's like to bear the brutal cold.
Gotta have big old covers.
She's been unhoused for a year, and she's among the hundreds living on the streets of Atlanta, bracing for freezing temperatures. Frontline Response is just one place that's opening their doors as a warming center. Their CEO says this time of year can get busy.
We may have here anywhere between 25 to 30 people, but when the cold weather comes in, those numbers explode up to around 150.
And by the way, while the calendar says there are still 3 weeks of fall left, meteorologists look at December 1st as the unofficial start of winter. For everyone else, the solstice arrives December 21st. After days of UN meetings in South Korea, no agreement's been made on a treaty to end plastics pollution. Alex Jensen reports from Seoul.
A week-long gathering of nearly 200 countries has failed to produce a treaty. The official line is they need more time to resolve disagreements on critical issues, with several countries wanting to focus on waste management rather than cutting production.
CBS's Linda Kenyon tells us there's growing optimism for a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
Negotiators meeting in Egypt say they're moving forward toward an agreement.
There has been progress. There have been steps forward.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells CBS's Face the Nation, yes, talks have been close before, but this time...
We're driving at this with everything we've got.
He says he thinks the chances of a ceasefire and hostage deal were more likely now. President-elect Donald Trump wants loyalist Kash Patel to lead the FBI in his new administration. Republican Senator Ted Cruz told Face the Nation he's happy with that.
Having a real reformer come into the FBI and clean out the corrupted partisans who sadly have burrowed into senior career positions.
The pick sets up another potentially explosive confirmation battle in the Senate. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-teens. Chance of flurries on your Monday, otherwise mostly cloudy and a high near 28. 15 Monday night, 25 the high on Tuesday. Again, a chance of flurries and becoming breezy. Wednesday, chance of snow and a high near 30.
Right now, it's 15.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ladies and gentlemen, imaginary friends, animals, everybody, welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut, session something or another.
We didn't count this time.
We've gotten to the point in these where we've lost track of how many.
Yes,
and that is
true.
A great feeling now that
it's
I'm saying
50,
it out loud.
I know that.
It's over 50. That feels pretty good. That voice you hear over there, my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Director's Cut, and we are going to have a guest here that we've had several times. It has been a while, though. In fact, it's been so long, she changed her name.
Yes.
And I don't think it's because of the show, though. So
she got too popular from the show.
She did,
just
too big
one
for
to,
us. Yeah.
She wanted to have a little bit of a private life, so she got married.
Yeah, right.
But Bria Hoyt is joining us, kind of the fifth Beatle, if you will, of Director's Cut. Bria, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, as always, for inviting me and for the nice chuckles this morning. You guys are a hoot.
We will get into that name change and some other stuff in a little bit. Today, we're in Director's Cut. We're going to get into an update on What the Muppet, talk a little bit about some of Bria's work. I want to talk with you guys a little bit about that balance of work and life. And we will get into, before we wrap up, a list of Thanksgiving movies. We are talking in our pregame. I think a lot of people might be informed that there are Thanksgiving movies. that might be
a surprise to me.
So that could be interesting. We'll get into all that. But I want to start off right away with a What the Muppet update. And first off, for anybody out there that might not know what the Muppet is, what the what? How do you not know about the world's greatest? No. This is a podcast Bria and I started up. It's a brainchild of Bria's. She had reached out and wanted to do this with me, and I'm still to this day very humbled about that. And there is nothing like getting to work together. For me, it's the most fun I will ever have creatively, really, working with your kids. There's nothing like it. What we do is kind of focus on a different Muppet and a different movie here in season two and have some fun with that, and encourage you to check out the podcast wherever you get it. We put in quite a few of these episodes, Bria, and nobody's put in more work than you on this. How have you enjoyed doing this podcast as opposed to Hi Ho Pistachio, Bria's first podcast, which I encourage you to go check out? It's a lot of great interviews on there.
Oh, that's a great question. It is vastly different collaborating with somebody. When I was doing Hi Ho Pistachio, I really enjoyed it because I got to talk to people about their passions, and I found that I actually really enjoyed writing out questions to ask people and just hearing them talk. But it did feel not like lonely, but kind of like what you were saying. There's nothing like collaborating with somebody, especially somebody you align with creatively. I feel like you can reach so many more creative outlets that way.
It's encouraging and hopefully encouraging to others out there when it comes to doing projects. The better people that you have on with you, the different angles they see things. As much as And I don't know of many people in this world that I'm more like than the two people I'm talking to right now. And even with that, one of the things I love about working with you both individually is you guys see things and have angles on things that I just don't see. And it happens almost every project I've done with either one of you, where you'll say something or do something and my mind is just blown. Like, oh, that's so cool. And hopefully you guys get a little of that, whether it's with me or with other people that you work with, where you know, you can work together for years and still have this happen. That's something that we, you know, it's just a joy to be a part of and let alone see. And I think an insight to a lot of people out there that aren't into this that would notice.
That's the best part of collaboration for me, is the stuff that you don't see and getting that other perspective. That's, for me, that's number one.
Mm. Absolutely. Tying it into What the Muppet also, it's very Jim Henson-esque to work with others that you care about, and you want their ideas to shine just as much as your ideas. It's a great time.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talk about nepotism and things like that nowadays, and people getting breaks for whatever reasons and stuff. But I do think that there's a big thing to be said there for having chemistry and having a connection. And if you happen to have that because you're related to the person or something like that, I mean, I don't see an issue with that, really. As somebody who is starving and trying to get a break and could have those breaks taken from nepotism, I even say, hey, you know, if it makes the creative process that much better, even if I'm more talented, it may be better suited for this project to have somebody with those connections. I think that matters. I have no doubt that somebody could probably do What the Muppet better with Bria and be more informed and more intelligent and everything.
I don't know about that.
But I don't know if they'd have the chemistry we do. I don't know that they'd have that those kind of things.
I don't think so, yeah.
It says something for that, I think. And part of the reason why we those things are kind of like looked at so highly.
Yes. Besides, what you have is reverse nepotism. So it's yes, the other way around.
It really completely is. It so is. And as we mentioned, this podcast is something Bria and I have been doing for a couple of years now. We are going to be taking a hiatus, though, and I say this for the audience as well as for my own mental health, that it's just a hiatus. It's not stopping. but we're doing that in part because of some life things that have been happening. I've certainly got a lot on my plate, two different stations, about 18 different shows that Seth and I run together, and all these other things, along with just trying to have a personal life, to be honest.
Right.
But Bria, you've had quite a bit going on as well.
Yes, it has been a whirlwind of a year. I got married technically last year, but what is time?
Yeah, right.
We went on our honeymoon, and I am expecting. I'm about like 7, almost 8 months pregnant right now.
Woo!
Not excited at all. Not excited at all, James.
Oh,
no.
Not at all.
So excited. This is the whole reason for the podcast today. This is just so we can talk about this. But you have a lot. Thank you for sharing those things, Bree. I really do appreciate it. That'll come up more in a little bit when we get into the balance of work and life and everything. But those things are part of the reason, along with what I said for myself, that we're going to be taking this hiatus. Now, part of what I thought was interesting about this, Bria, is in this day and age, one thing that I learned through you, especially about podcasting, but just about content, it's been encouraging to me and something I've taken into the radio world as well, about the consistency of work and how important that is. Even when you may not feel like, I don't know if this is our greatest work, putting out new episodes and how important that is. That's something that I thought was really unique that you told me about and really got me to kind of understand a little bit better. And I don't know how long it was later, but a little bit later, something Seth also hit on that I thought was very important. One of the things we like to do with this show is certainly give you a little behind the curtain look of the projects we're doing, but we're always encouraging other people to do other projects. So when you're doing these projects, things to keep in mind is that consistency, how important that is.
Yeah.
Now, you build up a good core fan base, and they're going to stick around. Mm-hmm. They're going to wait through a hiatus. They're going to be there for those things. The joy of, I think, the podcast world as well is there's so many. I can finally catch up on this other podcast. And so maybe the listeners of What the Muppet are listening to another one.
Right.
And by the time they're caught up, we're back with new episodes.
There you go.
Oh, wow. You know, look at that. I think it's a little bit like, tell me if it's similar to you guys or not, or my brain's just doing this, where a TV show isn't on year round. Most TV shows, they're on for a season, or, you know, that collective season that's oftentimes August or September to March or April. And then it goes away for a couple of months and another show pops up. It feels like that a little bit.
Yeah, totally. That's a good analogy.
And so if it's that case, then, you know, really, it's just kind of actually a part of the routine of this to give an audience a break.
Right. And we see, especially right now in pop culture, you know, bringing back everything, you know. Yeah. Hey, if it was successful back in the 80s, you know, maybe it will be successful right now kind of thing. But I think what we're talking about is something a little bit different. This is not a reboot or something like that. It's a continuation with a break in the middle, like you said. Like, and it was more back in the day, you know, with just network television, you know, like you said, they would have a certain number of episodes for a season. They would take a break and maybe they'd put another show in there or do reruns or something like that, and then people would come back for the next season in the fall or that sort of thing. There was kind of a continuity to it, You know, that kind of thing. Now, we don't know how long the hiatus for What the Muppet is going to be, you know, because who knows what will happen. But there, like you said, it'll be there and it'll be continuation. You're not going to retool the entire show and it's like, now it's about, you know, Simpsons characters or something like that. You know, I know that's the other one James wants to do.
That is a podcast that I'm working on. I cannot get anybody to let me to actually promote the podcast, though.
So I've
been told by Spotify and a number of different industries that they have enough. We have enough Simpsons stuff.
So, but, and I think, like you said, you now have kind of a fan base, right, for it. So, you know, and that's kind of the best of both worlds, really, because they understand, you know, it's like, well, we got stuff going on and we will be back at some point. So stick around, everybody, you know, wait and we'll see you later.
Do want to mention that the Instagram page will still be up and running, I cannot encourage you enough to interact with that and be a part of that and everything. And we'll certainly on that be keeping you up to date on when new episodes may or whenever they might come around or something like that.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 AM and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you, who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
With that, Bria, you know, this isn't the only thing that you're up to, of course. What the Muppet is a very incredibly successful podcast, but it is a successful one. That's okay. Your other projects that you're working on, you're just as passionate about and care just as much about, and I wanted to get into that a little bit with you, if you don't mind. I understand that we can actually kind of tease a little bit too and look behind the curtain a little on some of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking me. Of my kind of livelihood is writing. I love writing unique stories, and one that I had been working on and I finished it this year. Like I said, this year has been a whirlwind. Keep track of all the lines. But it was my first low fantasy young adult novels, my kind of first dip into fantasy, called The Locals. I've been working on editing that and getting that ready for publication. Still a ways off because there's a lot to do behind the scenes as a writer, especially a self-published writer, of getting a book ready to go. But I had a fun project on the side, kind of taking a break from editing when you need it because you don't want to get burnout. I started another new horizon of a rom-com novel called Always the Officiant, Never the Bride.
Oh, interesting.
God, just as a side note, you are so good at titles. You are so good at those. That's a great title.
Thank you. It's been a fun experience so far. I'm not a huge romance novel reader. I do like a cutesy kind of innocent romance novel here and there, but I've been diving more into it. I am a sucker for Hallmark movies, so that is a hill that I will stand proudly on. So it's been fun. And as somebody who's officiated 5 weddings, it's been fun to kind of sprinkle that into the book as well.
Right, what you know, right? Right, yeah, what you know. Yeah. That leads me to another question for you as a writer, and I'm glad you brought this up. So, I mean, right now you're telling us, you know, you've been working on 2 novels or stories that are not stuff that you usually have done in the past. So what is it like having to, you know, get into a different genre type of writing? You know, have you found it to be easy, or are you doing more research, or what has the experience been like?
Ooh, I like that question. Definitely research is a writer's best friend. The search history on writers' laptops is probably very bizarre. But yeah, I think when I'm diving into a new genre, I want to walk into it with respect, especially two that are so huge, like fantasy and romance, the biggest genres of books. So I like to watch videos of other writers who are kind of in that niche and understand, like, okay, this is what a reader expects from this kind of book experience, because you don't want to disappoint the readers either while also writing for yourself. But there are like rules depending on the genre. Like in romance, for instance, it's gotta be a happy ending. That is the deal breaker. Mm-hmm. Isn't a happy ending? It's not a romance. It is a drama.
Isn't that interesting? There are certain things, like I understand that in order for it to technically be a romance story, the couple has to end up together. So Romeo and Juliet is not technically a romance story because they don't end up. Spoiler alert. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Everybody.
You know that 400-year-old play.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm really bad for that. I apologize. It's interesting the different notes, especially as you get in more into the written word and how the definitions of those things. I think that's unique, just as unique as the idea of branching out. We talk about this a lot, especially you and I, Seth, that for every artist that wants to do this, not everybody takes the attempt, especially if you have even a little bit of success doing certain things. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to keep doing that certain thing. That's what almost everybody's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. But your gut, especially as a creative, is telling you, well, I had a hit with I Want to Hold Your Hand. What can I do with Sgt. Pepper? Mm-hmm. What can I do to shift? What can I change? How can I grow as an artist?
Right.
And especially in doing that and maybe finding, oh, well, this is fun. Oh, I'm pretty good at this. Or, oh, I like this and everything. I admire it with all kinds of genres, but I really do with writing. I think that we almost have simplified what writing it is and how hard it is to make it as an author this day and age.
Yes.
I give you so much credit for that, Brittany.
Right. And there's a practical aspect to it as well, considering, the more genres you can get into, I mean, that's just makes you that much more versatile, right? And maybe you can find that, that hit, that something out there, that something gets as popular, especially if it's going to be, your livelihood. If that's what you're going to, be your job is to be writing. It's a great way, we talked with Joel Goodness about being an actor. If you can sing and dance, well, then you're that much more available, right, to different roles, that kind of thing. And I think it's no different for a writer.
Yeah, certainly worked for Stephen King.
Yeah, exactly. He's written so much.
And everything. Bria, you've got some, of course, projects out there that people can check out and get. We want to encourage them to do that. Where can they find your work?
So my pen name is B.A. McCray, and you can find it, I believe, in Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I also believe if you have, a local bookstore, an independent bookstore, it's also on the marketplace, my book, so you can buy it through an indie bookstore, if I'm not mistaken.
Always encourage you to do that. Yes. Yeah, and greatly appreciate those of you doing that kind of work out there and helping our local bookstores. As we're wrapping up our first segment here, I did want to touch a little bit about this balance of life and work and being a creative. And I think most people out there are workaholics and may not know it. And I think a lot of people in a lot of different industries have to be in some ways.
Right.
But it's also finding that balance of not only having to work, but doing work that you're passionate about, work that you care about and everything. And that's where a lot of creatives step in, whether we want to or not, whether we can help it or not, we do a lot of work creatively in that. But how you fill that need when life calls and you have a life to live, which we all do and all that, and understanding that balance. How do you two find that? Because I am the world's worst at this. I'm the last person to give anybody advice on this one. A lot of my colleagues have trouble partying too much and focusing too much on having a personal life and not working hard enough. It's almost like acting 101. Like, hey, you get this break. Now you got to work harder, actually. Mm-hmm. You never worked harder in your life. But a lot of actors, they get that break and like, I'm cool. Let's party. Let's have fun. I got a big break and all that. There's a difference between the actor you see with two things on their IMDb page and the ones that don't.
With 40, right? Yeah.
But how you are balance that out. Of being able to do that. Bree, how do you, is there things that you're doing or learning to do to be able to do that? Like, putting a podcast on pause or even putting writing projects on pause.
Yeah, that has taken some time and practice. I think it comes down to boundaries, honestly, having boundaries for yourself, for your own mental health. If you're feeling just run down and that things that used to bring you joy don't seem to anymore, or you're putting them off because there's just other things to do. I think that's a red flag kind of statement in your mind if you're saying, well, there's other things I could be doing instead of this thing that I enjoy. I think that's when you know that you have too much on your plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, to-do lists are my saving grace, are my to-do lists.
Yeah. That's really helpful, and that's really insightful.
Have kids.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
But seriously, I'm only half joking there, because if you have kids, they're gonna require a lot of attention and a lot of your focus. And it is actually, for me, it is a good way to get away. You know, that's a way to get off of the other stuff that you're worrying about. Just worry about them, what they have to do. And obviously, when what Bria is going to be heading into very soon, mm-hmm. with newborn and everything, I mean, you have to. I mean, there's no way around it. You're going to have to spend all kinds of attention on that child. But when they get older, even, it's a great way to, you know, take a break. You can do it with your kids, because they're a great ready-made distraction, right? To do other things, do something with them, do something as a family, that kind of thing. So that makes it, at least for me, that helps out a lot.
Very positive and refreshing too, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I found this out the hard way, but I have found out that when you do take breaks from your work, it really opens up your brain and your creativity to come back to that and be like, oh, wow, okay, I feel refreshed. I feel reborn into mm-hmm. this and everything. It can really help with that. And even if you don't want to listen to these thoughts that we have on this, you can listen to science, because the scepters in your brain need that rest and need that break. You can keep pushing ahead and keep pushing ahead, but they're probably not going to come up with much because you haven't given them the break that they need.
Right. And it's hard to do that sometimes when you're on a roll, or if you're like, I just want to keep working. I want to get this done, or whatever it is. It's easy to forget that you're actually going to do better when you have that time to rest.
And Bria, yeah. I think you'll like this one. One of the things I learned through therapy is planning and how much that can help, and prepping for things and planning ahead for things. Certainly along with that, though, being, you know, flexible. And understanding that, hey, sometimes this doesn't happen at exactly 9:05. I got to be open if it's okay at 9:15. And maybe I got to move something around or whatever. That's not only something you learn as a parent really early, because that's just kids and life and everything. But I think really good as you get older to understand that even better and better. And that, yeah, I can plan for everything. But, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'm just going to be making God laugh because I made plans.
Make plans, yep.
I think is that a wrap for our first segment?
Yeah, I think we're
that
good is. There.
That's been a wrap for our first segment, but we will come back. Yeah. We're talking Thanksgiving. We're talking turkey movies.
Turkey movies.
Movies, and I mean specifically just movies involving turkeys. No, no, no. We'll come back and we'll talk.
It'll take 2 minutes, right? Yeah.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Temps are dropping and warming centers are open in some cities to help get people out of the cold. Terry Tucker is with Frontline Response International in Atlanta.
Not only do we, you know, have our door open, we go out and look for people where we know they're located, and we try to encourage them to come in.
In South Korea, leaders met for a week working on a treaty to end plastics pollution. But reporter Alex Jensen said they couldn't come to an agreement.
A group of so-called like-minded nations are understood to have blocked a treaty targeting plastic production. The only agreement's been to resume negotiations at a later date. A
lot of questions about President-elect Trump's choice to lead the FBI, loyalist Kash Patel. Democratic Senator Alex Padilla on Face the Nation.
Is it a genuine, legitimate appointment or a political appointment to politicize the Bureau and the Department in Trump's favor?
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-teens. Chance of flurries on your Monday, otherwise mostly cloudy and a high near 28. 15 Monday night, 25 the high on Tuesday. Again, a chance of flurries and becoming breezy. Wednesday, chance of snow and a high near 30.
Right now, it's 15.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets, all three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. Seth and James here with you. We're joined by the great Bria Hoyt right now. Appreciate Bri being here, of course, joining us not only as a wonderful local author and creative, but co-host of What the Muppet and everything. So thanks for being here, Bri. Appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, too.
We're in the Christmas the holiday marathon right now.
We're almost there, yep.
And you hear me throw Christmas out there because when you think, if we're going to talk holiday movies, well, right. Christmas movies, that's a mainstay. I mean, there's a whole industry built on
that. How many are there? Speaking of Hallmark movies, right? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But the people over at lifehacker.com came up with a list actually of Thanksgiving movies. And I thought this was a fun topic, especially obviously with Thanksgiving coming up this weekend.
Right.
Week, but also just because of something that Seth touched on right away. Wait, there are Thanksgiving movies?
What?
Like, you know, that's a little crazy. So we're going to get into some of these, and some of these, I'll be completely honest, some of them are a little bit of a reach, but I think that makes them more fun. And not,
well, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, I think we're okay. Yeah.
Oh, man, you set me up perfectly because I think we have the version of that for Thanksgiving.
Oh, we do. Ooh.
Is this movie a Thanksgiving movie or a this movie?
Okay.
We're going to get into that.
Very nice.
And I also have, well, we'll have a couple of movies here. I have the only movie you really need to watch this Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I have the quintessential Thanksgiving movie coming up towards the end. But we start off with 1997's The Ice Storm. This is an interesting one, a little bit of a sneaky favorite to a lot of people. You journey back to 1973 and Ang Lee, one of the greater directors we have.
Mm-hmm.
Ang Lee's Thanksgiving set classic as gathering for an annual dinner brings out dark secrets in the lives of two families in a quiet, picture-perfect suburb. This is incredibly well-acted. Part of the reason this movie is talked about to this day is because of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Kline, Christina Ricci, Tobey Maguire, Elijah Wood, Joan Allen. It is just a tour de force of actors.
Yes.
That all bring their A game. As great as everybody is in this movie, Christina Ricci's performance, like, I loved her as Wednesday. I loved a lot of her early roles in Casper and everything. This was the role for me that told me, this is going to be one of the better actors we're going to get to see for a long time. Like, she's got some chops to her. Obviously, Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver are classics.
Yeah.
They're two of the greats. Joan Allen as well.
Yes.
I'm a big Elijah Wood guy. And I love the opportunities for him to really show, hey, by the way, I'm really good at this.
Right.
You know, just remind everybody. It's a good one.
I remember when it came out. I've never seen it, but I remember being very impressed with the cast list. Wow, man, that's really cool. And I've heard it's kind of a sneaky good movie. And it's set during Thanksgiving, but yeah, it's just like classic drama, right?
Yes. And that's something to keep in mind with these movies. Much like Thanksgiving, it can be fun and moody. It can be a little bit of drama, but right, also a really good time. I think it's certainly a worthwhile one. Maybe if you're not looking for drama, maybe you're looking for something a little bit more relaxed, a little more fun. Well, we have that for you as well. 1993's Addams Family Values. Now, this is a bit, again, it's a little bit of a reach, but it does have Thanksgiving as a major part of the movie.
I totally forgot about that. Oh, my goodness.
Certainly. I'm sorry, Brie, what'd you say?
Oh, I said I love that.
You know, you say what you want about the Addams Family movies. This mm-hmm. one certainly does have a lot of, different things in it. And mm-hmm. one of them is one of the more famous scenes, I would think, is certainly the kids having the play, or in Wednesday is in the Native American yes. gear. And, you know, there's that. That made it a lot of fun, too. And a great movie. Great movie.
Another great cast. I mean, I know it was from, leftover from the original Addams Family, but one of the best cast movies of all time, if you ask me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not only do you get Raul Julia in one of his final performances, and one of the perfect Gomez's, mm-hmm. Angelica Houston as Morticia is just a treasure.
Amazing.
And you get Joan Cusack in this one. Yeah, some people
right.
forget
that she's the villain, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. It's a good role for her.
And a fun movie, too. Maybe a little lighter for people.
Oh, for sure.
If you're looking for that. But those movies really stand up, too. Yes. They're fun movies. There's something about the Addams Family, like, just brand, that whether we're talking the TV show, the movies, or the most reincarnation
right,
of the
or
movies,
the animated movie, or now the Wednesday show. Yeah, I mean,
they all hold up.
Yeah, they all, in different ways, too. Yes. That's the amazing thing about it.
That's a good IP to have. Yeah, man. That's a good one. Yeah. I know this isn't really our genre. None of us are really horror people, but maybe that's what you're looking for out there. What about the movie Just Thanksgiving from 2023? They say this. I have not seen this. Okay. I'll be honest with everybody. Right. I have not seen this one, but this one is considered a horror mystery. It has Patrick Dempsey and Gina Gershon in it, so a couple of bigger names.
Wow.
And it has an 84% ranking on Rotten Tomatoes. So I mean, that's
someone
not too
is
bad.
Enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is what they're doing now with horror. They've been doing for years with
they
horror
have.
Movies.
Yes,
they've run out of ideas. There's it's no longer good enough to have Freddy or Jason or have the marquee name mm-hmm. the mascot for your franchise anymore.
Right.
Now it's a holiday. It's it really is. They just keep nailing these ones. Sometimes it's just the simple, there's no plot necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just Thanksgiving. How do we incorporate more blood and guts with that?
Yeah, right. Well, and the genre kind of started in the 70s, all the way back in the 70s. The first, probably, if I might be getting this wrong, was like in 74, 75 with Silent Night, Deadly Night, mm-hmm. which was obviously a Christmas-themed one where you had the serial killer dressed up as Santa kind of thing, yeah. which we've seen like 100 times since then, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that it really exploded in 78 with Halloween. That had to have been like the first huge hit, because the other one before was kind of a cult classic, but Halloween was a huge hit. And ever since then, they've been trying to fill in every single holiday with a horror movie.
I am currently working on an Arbor Day, a horror movie.
The trees,
yeah,
man.
It's not going. It's not going well. It's not going well. It's a great point. It's a great point about the original Halloween. You're so right mm-hmm. about that. Yeah. I think a great movie on this list for your consideration from 2006. Another masterpiece from the great Christopher Guest. This is Spinal Tap, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, of course. Mm. For your consideration, is about an actual messed up family. So much as it's not just about that, but about the production of a holiday themed family film, the low budget family drama House of Purim, about a Jewish family in the 1940s, gets a bit of retooling following some vague Oscar buzz, and just every God man, you just can't.
can't get a better cast. The cast that Christopher Guest gets is insane. Certainly Christopher Guest himself. And you're if you've watched any of his movies, you're going to have Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hare, Fred Willard in this. Parker Posey is also in this one. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Coolidge is in this one as well.
Wow.
You've got Michael McKean, Larry mm-hmm. Miller. Just an incredible cast. Incredible cast. And a fun movie. Christopher Guest movies. I think one of the things about his movies, even if you don't enjoy them, there's parts of it you're going to laugh.
Yes. Yes. And one of the reasons he uses the same people is because a lot of them are improvised. Mm-hmm. These are all very good comic actors, and they're very good at coming up with stuff on the spot. And he uses that a lot in all those movies that you just mentioned. That was in his movies are constantly coming up with stuff right on the scene and then finding the best stuff. Man, that's why they are so good.
Bria, did you have you seen any of these so far? Either of you, have you seen any of these movies?
No.
I was curious.
Not that you've mentioned, I do want to watch for your consideration now. But I have seen one movie on this list that I don't believe you've mentioned yet.
Okay, cool. Okay, we'll get to that one. We'll definitely get to that one. one of the things that is on this list is movies that, you know, it happens to show up Thanksgiving. I don't know how much it's necessarily about that or anything. And there's some heavy dramas on this list, like the movie Prisoners, which is, I mean, Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Viola Davis, Terrence Howard, Maya Bello, Paul Dano, Melissa Leo, and all like great actors. And every single, like certain actors try to out-act each other sometimes in scenes. And you see that when you see a group of actors like this that are all very, like, not just good actors, but everybody loves working with. It's not that they're trying to out-emotion themselves, but it's almost like they're trying to out-act themselves, not the other actors. They're trying so hard to give you such a great and real mm-hmm. performance. And this movie it just pulls at every emotion you have.
Wow.
It's a tough movie. I don't know if you're already stressed out going into Thanksgiving. This is a movie I would recommend. I recommend it maybe, you know, in June. Maybe, you know, when it's nice out and you got other things going on or whatever, and you can kind of get an icebreaker or you know, get a palate cleanser afterwards.
You don't have to worry about doing it on Thanksgiving, right? Yeah. Here's a good way to ruin it for everybody. Hey, guys, we're going to watch Prisoners.
I would not
forget football.
Yeah, exactly. I would not recommend. That's hilarious, though. I want somebody to try that. Now I want somebody to do that. Another one on here, The Myth of Fingerprints from 1997. Another stellar cast, a bunch of great actors in this one, and an interesting movie. You know, certainly one of those ones. A few days spent in close proximity to each other soon leads to family secrets and old resentments being revealed.
See a theme here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Roy Schreider in this one. And you don't get to see him in these kind of roles very often.
Oh, such an underrated actor. I love Roy Schreider. Oh, my goodness.
That was another one that I wanted to make sure to mention. As we're talking about these, one that we almost feel like we have to mention is The New World from 2005, which is kind of like about the beginning of Thanksgiving and the right. reason for it and everything. So it feels like we almost have to mention that one.
Right.
Another theme that you might be noticing, incredible cast. Christian Bale, Colin Farrell, Christopher Plummer, Jonathan Savage, Irene Bedard as in this one, I believe.
Wow.
Really, impressive. Really impressive mm-hmm. cast. One of the beginnings of seeing Colin Farrell starting to do some really good work, mm-hmm. like really fine-tune his acting, take this job a lot more serious and, you know, to where we
what
see him
What year did
now.
You say this was?
This was...
2005?
Yes. Yeah.
This was just after the debacle that was Daredevil, and where he was, I mean, he really get into himself in that movie. Yeah. But seriously, maybe he had to take stock after that and be like, ooh, wait a minute. Maybe I should go a different direction.
Yeah. If you're not Nicolas Cage and somebody references you as Nicolas Cage, that's not good.
No.
That is not a good sign. There's a couple of movies that I certainly think are great ones. One that I highly recommend if you haven't seen is The Great Home for the Holidays from 1995. This is a wonderful, wonderful movie. Now, this is actually, I believe, the second movie Jodie Foster directed. Oh. So journalistic integrity here. That's why I'm talking. That's part of the reason I'm talking.
Yep.
But if you don't want to watch it for that, maybe watch it for one, you don't get to see a lot of movies Holly Hunter leads.
Oh, that's true.
And
yeah.
I love Holly Hunter.
She's great.
She's so good in this movie. Robert Downey Jr. is in this one as well.
Oh, wow.
In more of a good role, a strong role, a smaller role. But certainly this is way before Iron Man or any of that.
Right.
And this is him when he's really leaning into his thespianism. Mm-hmm. And Robert Downey Jr. is looking at his career as, okay, I'm going to make it in drama. Because that's with the problems that he had and everything, mm-hmm. this was a way for him to stay in the industry. Steve Guttenberg is also really good in this movie,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow, cool.
Charles Durning's in it, I think, as well.
Well, anything's good with Charles Durning in it, man. I love him.
When her teenage daughter opts out of Thanksgiving, single mom Claudia Larson, Holly Hunter, travels alone to her childhood home for an explosive holiday dinner with her dysfunctional family.
I love it.
Robert Downey Jr. plays Holly's brother,
and
the chemistry is phenomenal. It's so good.
That's cool.
I love this movie, and I try to watch this one usually around this time of year.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you need more drama.
Right. No, yes, not. Absolutely. Yes.
The drama in your family is much more fun, actually.
It can be.
Crazy as that.
Absolutely. Have you seen this one, Bria?
No, I haven't, but yet again, another movie that I want to tack onto my list for this Thanksgiving movie that I didn't know I needed to see.
That's right. Maybe that's what we should call this segment, is you didn't know you needed to see this movie. Because I hope we're giving people ideas, because a lot of these are not well-known movies, but it sounds like a lot of them have a lot of really good qualities.
Yeah.
I actually, when you are done running through this list, I have a movie that isn't on this list.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. And this is one of the few ones, Bria, I would say, oh yeah, you're going to like this one. I feel very confident you'll like Home for the Holidays. Now a little, we're nothing of a show if we don't get to we're not afraid to get into controversial areas. The three of us are all rebels in our own ways.
Yeah.
Seth brought up earlier, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? That's a great debate and people love to have fun with and everything.
Right.
Now I got a new debate for all of society, because we need that. We need more debate in society.
That's all we need, yes.
Yeah. Is Rocky a Thanksgiving movie?
Oh, wow.
Rocky from 1976 shows up on here. Thanksgiving, for those that know, of course, the Rocky movie. You know the plot of Rocky by now. But if you know the original, Thanksgiving is a pretty good plot point in the movie.
Wow. I hadn't even thought of that. That does make sense. Wow. How about that?
If I'm being honest with everybody, part of the reason we're doing this is because I wanted to bring this up. And I can't help myself. I just thought it would be so much fun to throw this out there in the society. Is Rocky a Thanksgiving movie or a boxing movie? Discuss.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah.
Why can't it be both? No.
I like that. 'Tis the season. Why can't it be both?
Yeah, I know. I actually, you know what? Because there's so few films that are specifically about Thanksgiving, man. It's not like Christmas, okay? Yeah, it's not like Christmas in that sense. So let's bring them on. We'll take all comers on this one, right?
We got to fill.
Come
on.
Need more. Yes.
Before I get to, I think, the quintessential, holiday movie, but especially Thanksgiving movie, a movie I watch every year around Thanksgiving. Bria, you said you had an honorable mention in Outside the Lines for us.
Yeah, so I believe it was a few months ago, my husband and I were looking at movies we might want to watch, and we came across one that's a Thanksgiving movie, so we're going to save it, but it's called Turkey Hollow, and it's a Jim Henson movie, and he's actually credited as a writer on the movie.
Really? Oh. Wow! Nice tie in there.
It came out in 2015. So not like super new, but not super old.
Yeah. Ooh, and so I vaguely remember when this came out and always meaning to see it, and I never did. And honestly, had forgotten about it probably up until right now. I am so thankful you brought this up. Not only do you get Ludacris as the narrator,
Starting there, right?
Which is kind of awesome. And not for nothing, he's good. Ludacris is talented. Like, I'm not even that big of a fan of him as a musician. As an actor and as a talker and everything, very good. So I bet he's pretty good at that. There's a bunch of interesting names and voices in this one. And the puppeteering is very different in this one. I'm sorry, the puppets themselves are very different. Yep. Very, very different.
Yeah, I thought that was fun that we were talking about Muppets earlier, and then there just happens to be a Jim Henson Thanksgiving movie.
That's so cool. I'm going to have to try to check that one out, too. I'm curious about it now.
Mary Steenburgen in it, as well.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Thank you for that, Bria.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you bringing that one to us.
All right. I have an honorable mention. It's not a Thanksgiving movie, but for fans in the know, the first episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 premiered on Thanksgiving weekend. I don't know if it was on Thanksgiving Day in 1988 at the local Twin Cities station, KTMA. And it was it was a UHF station, just a local thing like that. That was where the very first episode of the show premiered. Was on Turkey Day, what they called Turkey Day weekend. And because of that, Turkey Day became a big thing in the mythology of the show in terms of what they did. So when they were picked up by Comedy Central, the Comedy Channel at the time, it became Comedy Central, when they were picked up by them a couple seasons into it, the third season, I believe, they ran a Turkey Day marathon. It was the first one. Now, we're talking marathon here, people.
Yeah.
30 hours straight of MST3K episodes. Now, they had enough finally by the third season to do that. Mm-hmm. The coolest thing about it is that the Comedy Central had contracted for them to do the bumpers in between the TV shows, the 2 hour shows, because it was, they did the movies.
So cool.
And it is a legend. The what they did for the bumpers in between, where Dr. Forrester and Frank are getting ready for Thanksgiving, is comedy gold. I mean, of course, I'm a big fan of all the shows, of course, but the stuff they did in between was brilliant. So it was some of the best stuff they ever did. And it became a tradition. Every year they would do Turkey Day Marathon, and then for a couple of years they did the bumpers in between and stuff. Wasn't as good as that first year. For whatever reason, everything came together for that one. But it's kind of a holiday for Misties, fans of the show. And they continue it on, including up to this year. They do have a Turkey Day Marathon, Turkey-thon, or whatever they call it, coming up this coming Thanksgiving on YouTube. So it's something they still have continued to up to the present day.
I had this as our second to last thing.
Oh, really?
I couldn't help
to bring it up, but
I can't not bring up my co-host's favorite show if I get the opportunity. And of course, Mary Jo Appeal being on with us before.
Yes, we have a connection there.
We're hoping to get every single person from Mystery Science Theater on the show eventually.
At some point.
Now, I didn't know some of the what you said, some of this, but when I first got into the show was that first season on Comedy Network, and it was because they did the Thanksgiving Marathon, and you had all these episodes on, so you got the chance to see what is this?
Check this out, right? Yeah.
So that's how I got turned on to the show, even.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these years later, getting back to going to YouTube again. On YouTube, you can find those original episodes, those very first episodes that were on the UHF channel.
Yes,
and everything.
You can see a few of them. I don't know if they have all of them available some of them the tapes deteriorated on and they couldn't, because it was
so
back in the
cool.
80s and stuff. But they are still, those are still out there. You can see the evolution of the show from a very small, like the last rated station in the market, which is where they started the show, to becoming the cult classic that it is today.
And Seth's right about the YouTube page. I have a bookmark down here just to go to whatever I need
to laugh. Turkey Day, yep. Here's hoping Joel does some of the in-between stuff.
So.
Yeah.
And as we wrap up here, I think the quintessential turkey movie, the one Thanksgiving movie, if you're going to watch above all others, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, of course, it is a modern classic, I think, just in my opinion, from 1987. You are maybe never going to find two better comedic actors in their chemistry with John Candy and Steve Martin, and how good they work together, and how great they are, and how lovable they are, and make these characters lovable. Steve Martin being able to make that character, being able to make Neil likable is some of his best work. And John Candy only did great work.
That's all he did.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's got a 92 rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I love
really?
That. That's really cool. I didn't know that. I just saw that right now. And I'm like,
that's
wow.
very cool.
It's very encouraging. And this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. A special thank you to Bria Hoyt for being with us. We appreciate our fifth Beatle joining us here on Director's Cut. Thanks, Bria.
Oh, thank you guys for having me on. What a nice kickstart to the holiday marathon.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out What the Muppet wherever you get your podcasts, everybody. And check out Bria's other work. You can find it on Barnes & Noble, on Amazon. Just type in your search bar, B.A. McRae, and you'll be able to come across all of it. And be listening for new episodes of Director's Cut coming up. Have a great holiday, everybody.
Bye.
Gobble, gobble.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on...